Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for your word. We're grateful, Lord, that it speaks to our hearts, Lord, that it changes us as we plant it in our hearts. I pray today, Father, that you would quicken us, that you would open the eyes of our hearts so we might see wonderful truths in your word. Might your Holy Spirit be active, might he be our teacher and our guide, might Jesus be seen, Lord, and I pray that you would move in power by your Spirit. And we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you can grab your Bibles, please. And I know you'll be surprised, but you can turn to the book of Psalms. Today we're going to be in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. To know and to be known. It really is a psalm that introduces us to the wonder of our God. And as we come into that place of understanding or increased understanding of who God is and what he desires for our lives, it affects how we live. It can't help but affect how we live. It guides us and directs us and strengthens us and corrects us. Charles Spurgeon wrote this: "It has been said by someone that the proper study of mankind is man. I will not oppose the idea, but I believe it is equally true that the proper study of God's elect is God. The proper study of a Christian is the Godhead, the highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God whom he calls Father." And I thought, man, that is powerful. I wish I could write like that. But amazing. And it's true. As we focus upon all those things, those attributes of God, his power, and that's exactly what this psalm does. It focuses upon the fact that our God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. Omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's everywhere present. And he is at work. And so we look at that and we understand that our God is in the process of revealing himself to us. In verse 1 of Psalm 139, we read, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." Really, the psalmist in those six verses tells us that he knows all about us because he created us. He's in that place of understanding. And I love that because it tells us that we serve a personal God. He's just not a God way out there. But he's a God up close and personal. He's a God that, as we'll see later on, thinks about us continually. And that's an amazing thing to stop and think about. To God, he knows everything about everybody and every situation all the time. A while back, I was praying, "Lord, I want to see as you see." And then I had this little thing in my spirit going, "Really? Do you really want to see what God sees?" And I'm going, "No, probably not. Lord, I want to see the things that you want me to see. How's that? That's better." But our God sees it all, and he's very personal. You remember with Moses had an up close and personal encounter with God there in the desert of Midian as he's herding the sheep. And he sees the bush that's burning and he says, "Wow, that's kind of cool. The bush is burning, but it's not burning up." And so he goes over and then he enters into the conversation with God. And God reveals himself in that burning bush to him as he places a call upon Moses' life. Every single one of us that knows Jesus had a burning bush experience. We may not have seen the literal burning bush, but God met us in that place and he called us to himself where we turned our attention to him and said, "Wow, this is pretty amazing. I see God working and I know that he's real. And I want to know this God that's real." And so if you can point to that moment when you received Jesus Christ, you invited him into your life, all of a sudden you realize, wow, that was a burning bush, and he did commission me. He called me to be his child, and he says, I want you now to go out and make disciples. And all of a sudden, we come into this amazing relationship. Jesus is our revelation of who God is. That's what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So as we get to know Jesus, we get to know the Father. He would say that, right? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so we want to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. Because as he tells us here, he knows our innermost thoughts. And I'm thankful for that. But it's also a bit shaking, because I realize he also sees the thoughts that aren't so wonderful. And yet, in the midst of all of that, he still loves us and calls us to himself. The seed of our thoughts, what is going on in our hearts? What is it that will affect how we live? He knows our circle of friends. You see, we're surrounded by those that God has brought into our lives. And so we form this circle of friends that affect how we live. How is your circle of friends doing? Are you building a circle of friends of those who will point you to Jesus? Or are you building a circle of friends of those who will take you away from him? We are surrounded. We're surrounded by people, and we're surrounded by the presence of the Lord. And so we come into this understanding that our God is all powerful, and therefore he is all knowing, and he is at work in our lives, and he's doing what he does best. In verse 7, it goes, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the light shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. I love what he tells us there. He says, God is always with you. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is omnipresent. He is at the farthest corner of the universe, and he's also right here in this sanctuary today. And he is no less in one place than the other. We serve a powerful God. That's pretty amazing to stop and think about, and it's comforting to us. He says to us there, where shall I go from your spirit? The Holy Spirit is at work. The power of God unto salvation. He is not only with us, but he is in us. And that's comforting. That's encouraging, because you see, the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is something that we need to know and understand. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is what will guide us and direct us and empower us to do those things which we undertake. And we need to be in that place of always allowing him to do his work. When the Spirit prompts you, when he prompts me, we need to respond. You remember the story of Jonah. God had a task for him. The Spirit prompted him. You need to go to Nineveh and preach that judgment is about to come. He didn't like that very much, because he didn't like the Ninevites. And he wanted to go. He went the other direction. So, of course, the Spirit went with him. And God prepared a great fish, and you know the story. Now, we can run from God when he begins to speak to us. We have to choose. What are we going to do? We really have the ultimate travel guarantee. No matter where we go, he's there. He's with us when we go. He's there when we arrive. Jonah figured that out finally, after a ride in a fish and being tossed out on the beach and all that, when it went with that, he finally figured out that God is the one that's in control. But for us, we see that God is in control of our lives, and he is guiding us, he is directing us, he is protecting us, he is enabling us to do what he's called us to do. It's all the same to God. And I love the fact that it tells us there that the light and the dark are both alike to him. We can find ourselves in some very dark times. We can experience that. We've all had that journey, or we're in the midst of it. But God would remind us from the psalmist that it's all the same to him. He is there. He's doing his work, and he will complete it according to his plan. If you find yourself downhearted today, ask yourself, well, Lord, where will I go from your spirit? Can I flee from your presence? It says, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. Lord, if I make my bed in hell or Sheol, the grave, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning, I love that phrase. If I take the wings of the morning, it's the idea of hopping a light beam. Lord, if I hop a light beam and ride it at 186,000 miles a second, when I get to wherever that's going, you're there. And all of a sudden, we see the bigness of our God. We see how wonderful he is. Even there, he says in verse 10, thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. I need that. I need to know that there's times that I can walk with my Heavenly Father and hold his hand and walk with him on the beach or in the mountains or in my living room or wherever it happens to be, that I can be in fellowship with him. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You see that intimacy, that fellowship that he offers to us. So, so sweet. In verse 13, the psalmist says, God made us. He's all powerful. For thou possessed my reins, the deepest part of me. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in the book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Those are powerful verses. You and I, we are God's construction project. He knew us before we were conceived. He knew us when we were conceived, when we were in our mother's womb growing. Galatians says in chapter 1, verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, really answers the question of when life begins. Life begins at conception. But that life existed before conception because God stands outside of time. Guys, we are unique. He knows how we work best. And he loves us. Even though we're challenging children, we're all challenging children, are we not? And we have that challenge in our lives. We know ourselves all too well. I love that bumper sticker. Every time I see it, it makes me smile. The more people I meet, the more I like my dog. But the idea is we're like those people we meet. So crazy. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That could be rephrased as it is in Nelson's New King James Study Bible. I'm an awesome wonder. See, when you say that, you're really quoting scriptures. So how can you go wrong, right? I'm an awesome wonder, man. So get used to it. The Lord is working. He's doing his work in us. And we can't pretend that God doesn't exist. We can't ignore him. He's written it into our DNA. We know he's real. There's no such thing as an atheist. There's no such thing. Because God says, I've surrounded everybody. Romans 1, I've surrounded everybody with a testimony of myself. So they are without excuse. When people say they're an atheist, all they're saying is, I don't want to deal with my sin. I don't want to admit that I need a savior. I don't want to turn my attention to the one who created me. But we pray for them. And we've seen many, many people come to know the Lord, those who were the most adamant deniers of him. God does amazing things, as only God can do, to change hearts, to give them the faith to believe and allow them to come into relationship with him. We see here the development of the baby. It really is a life within a life, right? A life within a life. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God had a plan for you. He has a plan for me before we ever came into being, from the very foundation of the world. He had you on his mind. He had me on his heart. And he says, I want to use you guys for my glory. I want to see you change the world for Jesus. And he will do that. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. I love those verses. Every time I read them, it tells me that God thinks about us. He thinks about us, his benevolence. And this is the creator of the universe, this one who set his mind upon you and upon me. God values you. He values me. Guys, listen, there is no second string in the body of Christ. We're all called into relationship with him at the same place, the foot of the cross. Never feel like a second-class citizen. In the body of Christ, you're not that. You're his beloved. He's called you his own. He's bought you with a price. God values you. He values me. And we think about what we value, do we not? Those things that we value, we think about regularly. And it's not just a passing thought. I love that he says, if I should count them, that God's thoughts towards us, they are more than in number than the sand. I read a thing once that said they computed that if the number of grains of sand were tallied in our world, they would be 10 to the 25th power grains of sand, which is 10 with 25 zeros after it. That's a lot of sand. That's a lot of thoughts that God thinks towards you, that he thinks towards me. And those thoughts should be precious to us. How many times has God just ministered to your soul as you're reading his word that just reminded you of his love for you? That reminded you that he is not done with you. That confirmed that although you're imperfect and that you choose poorly sometimes, that he is going to continue to work in your life, in my life, and he's going to bring us to that place of completion. And he says, when I awake, I'm still with you. Lord, I check out at night. I go to sleep with an understanding and confidence that when I wake up, you're going to be there. And you know what? I might wake up on the other side of death's door. Guess what? He's there. So he's there on either side of that door. That's our security. That's our hope. And when I hear about those stepping into eternity, I think, you know, how sweet for them. Hard for us because we miss them. I mean, I think about sometimes I think I'd love to be able to talk to my mom or my dad. And I will one day. I will one day. And we have that assurance. We have that understanding that our God is faithful. In verse 19, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God will deliver us. He is a God of deliverance. That's a true deliverance ministry. You hear that term thrown around, but our God is a deliverer, the great deliverer. David, the writer of this psalm, longs for a world without the pressure and the presence of evil. Do you ever feel like that? Lord, I just want to be free of this stuff. I'm tired of wrestling with it. I just want to know peace and absolute fellowship with you. Knowing God causes me to want to walk in purity, because I know that it's there that I find sweet fellowship with my Lord. I will hate sin. We can't embrace sin. Sin's destructive. Sin kills. Sin disables. We need to love the sinner. We need to pray for those who are caught up in sin, even as we did this morning in our prayer time. Sin is destructive. Sin is destroying many, many lives in these days, but our God is greater. And we see this invitation, the psalmist's invitation to God. God, search me and know me. You know, that is a risky prayer unless you're willing to respond, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Well, number one, he knows my heart already. But the idea, David wants to say, Lord, I want you to speak to me about what's going on in my life. Let me know, Father, your perspective, not my perspective, about what you see and how you want me to respond to those things. Search me. Check out the rooms in my life. Do you have a room? Do I have a room this morning that I have set aside from his inspection? Lord, I'll let you inspect every room in my life but this one. We can find ourselves in that place, not willing to give those things up in our lives. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, we read the verse familiar to many of you, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now, we use that verse many times for witnessing. But really, when you look at it, he's not talking to the unsaved out there that have no connection with the church. He's talking to the church. He's knocking on the door of the church and he says, I want you to open the door and let me come in. There are many churches who have closed the door to Jesus. They don't want to have anything to do with him. And he would say, I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I want to come in. We need to make sure our heart's doors are open to him, allowing him to have free and full access to every room in our house. Lord, there's nothing that I am holding on to that is worth sacrificing relationship with you, with your people, with your spirit. Lord, I want you to know my thoughts. The idea is, Lord, I want you to know my anxieties. And I want you to know my inspirations. I want you, Lord, to speak to me about these things. Let me cast my cares on you, Lord, because I know that you care for me. I know that you're going to see me through. Years ago, and I think I've shared this before, but when I was much younger, I had spent all my time in the woods, which I worked fine for me, except for when it was snowing. But it came a point in time that I realized I wanted to work out of the woods. I wanted to be a white collar worker rather than a blue collar worker, because the blue collar workers got rained on. And so I moved from surveying into industry, title insurance. What I found out was I wasn't tooled for that emotionally. I kind of like the two-person, three-person crews out in the woods where all you had to deal with was mosquitoes and no-see-ums, you know, and it worked fine for me. But then as I got in there, I realized, oh, man, I've got to interact with people. And I didn't like people. I didn't want to be around people. And then the Lord began to work in my heart. But what happened was because of the pressure of interacting with people, I developed what's called diverticulitis. And so in those days, this was like before I was walking with the Lord, the solution was to fix it with a medication. So they gave me Valium. I don't know if you know what Valium is. So you're really feeling loose. And it did, it got me to the place where I got over the diverticulitis, took care of itself, and I moved on. And then I realized when I came to Christ that that was the world's solution, not God's solution. God's solution is to cast your cares on him because he cares for you, to retool your thinking, to allow him to transform your mind and give you a love for the people that you really don't want to love very much. And all of a sudden you find that he's at work and he's doing amazing things and your aspirations are coming to fruition. That's why we need to ask the Lord to know our hearts. Lord, I want you to know my heart. I want you to speak to me about my heart. I want you to try me, Lord. The idea is, Lord, I want you to test me. I want you to prove me. I want you to try me. It's spoken of like gold, persons, the heart, the man of God. I want you to heat me up and find out what floats to the surface. That's how they purify gold or any precious metal. They heat it up. The slag, the dross comes to the surface and they skim it off. And each time they go through that process, a little more impurity is removed. And that's exactly what the Lord does in your life and mine. You're going through it right now because God is removing from you dross. He's perfecting you. He's changing you. He's perfecting me. He's changing me. He evaluates my weaknesses and my sins. And he takes me into a place where I can be in fellowship with him and be in that place where I begin to know and understand his heart for me. For Paul, after he came to faith in Christ, he was taken out into the desert for 3.5 years or so to be ministered to by Jesus, to prepare him for the ministry that he was going to experience. The Lord will sometimes take you. He'll sometimes take me into the desert of Arabia, wherever that is for you, the desert of Tiller. I don't know where it is. Wherever he takes you to that place, and he is working in your life, he's working in my life, because he is going to bring us to that place where we can say with great conviction, God, you saved me, and you've done an amazing work, and now I know you want to use me for your glory. That's what the psalmist closes with there at the final part of verse 24. He says, see if there be any wicked way in me, and what? Lead me in the way everlasting. Take me off the path of the world and put me on the path of the Lord, because I know that that's where I'm going to find fulfillment. That's where I'm going to find joy. That's where I'm going to find peace. That's where I'm going to find strength. That's where I'm going to find everything that I need and hope for in my life. That's what God does. Lead me, Lord, on the right path and help me have the wisdom to choose the right path. We all have to make choices day by day, moment by moment. Sometimes we choose poorly. Other times we choose rightly. It's called life. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We're going to experience difficulties. We're going to experience challenges, but we're also going to experience great victories. Search me and know me, O God, and try me to see if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, help me not to become disqualified because of my stupid choices. Oh, can I say stupid? I'm not supposed to say that with kids around. Kids, don't say stupid. Don't be stupid. No. God is at work. Aren't you excited about that? I'm excited about that. He's at work in our lives, personally, in our families, to see restoration, to see reconciliation, to see a deepening of relationships with one another, not only in our families, but in the body. And that's the way it's supposed to work. And it will work that way as we realize that our God is all-powerful, is all-knowing, and is everywhere present. We serve a great God, a great God. Let's celebrate him today and every day. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful to you, Lord, that you lead us through life day by day, moment by moment, Father, and you never show us more than what we are ready to receive. You stretch our boundaries. You quicken us, Lord, and strengthen us to deal with those things which you allow into our lives. And I thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. I pray, Father, that as we consider the words of the psalmist in Psalm 139, that we would realize the depth of relationship that is available to us with you. Lord, help us to open our hearts, our minds. Help us to cry out to you, Lord, search me and speak, Lord, in my life that which I need to rid myself of. Give me those things which I need, Lord. And help me to be faithful to use them for your glory. I pray, Father, that you would encourage every heart in this place. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to know and understand, Father, that every single thing that unfolds in our lives, you will use for your glory and our good. Help none of us, Lord, to become weary and well-doing. Help us to be quick to cast our cares on you. Help us to be quick to give thanks to you for all that you are doing. Every day, Lord, might we have grateful hearts. Might we experience that supernatural joy, Lord, for your joy is our strength. You are a great and awesome God. We see it again and again in this psalm and beyond, Lord. May we celebrate you. May we celebrate our relationship with you. As we celebrate, Lord, may the world look on and say, wow, what do they have that I need? Grow your church, Father, as only you can. Let your people be active, Father, in sharing their faith, the love of Jesus, which transformed our lives, Lord. Might it be imparted into the lives of those that have yet to experience freedom in Jesus. I pray the Lord indeed would give you a new sense of freedom today. A deepening sense of worth as you realize that he has placed his spirit within you and has called you his own. That you would experience a new hope for a better day. And that you would, as the redeemed, stand up and say so. Do your work today, Father. We invite you to do your work. We do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.